The idea most central to our lives as Baha'is is that we have entered into a covenant with Baha'u'llah. As you know, in all other religions, after the passing of the manifestation, his followers had thousands of disputes among themselves, and as a result, split the religion into many sects. The cause of disunity was sometimes the desire for leadership of certain ambitious individuals. But when differences of opinion arose between even sincere believers about what the words of the manifestation meant, no one had been authorized by the manifestation himself to settle the disagreements, and this contributed to conflict and dissension. Each set of interpretations led to the creation of a different sect. Baha'u'llah has protected his faith against such division by endowing it with a unique power, the power of the covenant. Before his passing, he stated in the clearest terms, in writing, that after him, all Baha'is should turn to Abdu'l-Baha. Abdu'l-Baha, his eldest son, was thus named the sole interpreter of his words and the center of his covenant. He had been raised by Baha'u'llah himself and recognized his station even as a child and had shared the sufferings of his father. He was a most precious gift given to humanity, the perfect exemplar of all the Baha'i teachings. Abdu'l-Baha lived on this earth for 77 years. He was born on the same night as the Bab declared his mission in 1844 and passed away in November 1921. His life was filled with affliction, but to everyone who entered his presence, he brought the greatest joy and happiness. After the passing of his father, the responsibility for the Baha'i community fell on his shoulders, and he labored day and night to spread the faith throughout the East and the West. He wrote thousands of tablets to individuals and groups everywhere and clarified the teachings of his father. His interpretations are now an essential part of the writings of the Baha'i faith. By focusing on Abdu'l-Baha as the center of Baha'u'llah's covenant, the Baha'is of the world remain united in their efforts to live a Baha'i life and to create a new civilization. We remember that as a part of our promise to Baha'u'llah, we are to love one another, and in Abdu'l-Baha, we see the perfect example of one who loves. We remember that we must uphold justice, that we must be generous, that we must overlook the faults of others. And from the example of Abdu'l-Baha, we learn justice, generosity, and forgiveness. More than anything else, by keeping our focus on Abdu'l-Baha, we are always aware of our covenant with Baha'u'llah, that we will not allow the unity of his followers to be broken, and that, united as a worldwide community, we will labor until the oneness of humankind has been firmly established. In his will and testament, Abdu'l-Baha named his grandson the guardian of the faith, and after his passing, Shoghi Effendi became the authorized interpreter of the teachings. For 36 years, he continued the work of his grandfather, clarifying the words of the manifestation and firmly establishing his faith in all parts of the planet. 5.5 years after his passing, the Baha'is of the world elected the Universal House of Justice, as envisioned by Baha'u'llah and clearly described by Abdu'l-Baha and the Guardian. The Universal House of Justice is the supreme institution of the faith to which all the Baha'is of the world now turn. A most important aspect of every religion is the laws that the manifestation brings to humanity in order to guide it in the right path. Some of these laws and commandments are eternal, others change as humanity progresses and evolves. In the faith, we are taught that we should not think of Baha'i laws as a series of do's and don'ts. Baha'u'llah tells us that his laws are the lamps of my loving providence among my servants and the keys of my mercy for my creatures. Nor should we obey these laws out of fear of punishment, for he clearly has stated in his most holy book, "Observe my commandments for the love of my beauty." These ideas will become clearer if I give you a few examples of Baha'i laws. In the physical world, human beings have to eat every day. This is a requirement of the human body. If we don't, we will get sick and quickly die. We can say then that eating daily is a law of physical existence which has to be obeyed. In the same way, One of the commandments of Baha'u'llah is that we should pray every day. Like our body, our soul needs constant nourishment, and prayer provides the nourishment for our spiritual growth. There are many beautiful prayers revealed by the Bab, by Baha'u'llah, and by Abdu'l-Bahá, which we can say when we are alone or recite in meetings. Some of these prayers are special, and some are obligatory. One obligatory prayer is recited by Baha'is every day, sometime between noon and sunset. It says, I bear witness, O my God, that Thou hast created me to know Thee and to worship Thee. I testify this moment to my powerlessness and to Thy might, to my poverty and to Thy wealth. There is none other God but Thee, the help in peril, the self-subsisting. In another commandment, Baha'u'llah prohibits backbiting and calumny. This is important because if you think about it, one of the greatest enemies of unity is backbiting. And unfortunately, it has become an established practice among most of humanity to talk about other people's faults in their absence. Everybody seems to be concerned with everybody else's shortcomings, which are made bigger and bigger as they are constantly mentioned. Abdu'l-Bahá tells us to do just the opposite. If we see 10 good qualities in someone and one fault, we should concentrate on the 10, and even if a person has 10 faults and only one good quality, we should focus on that one good quality. O companion of my throne, hear no evil and see no evil. Abase not thyself, neither sigh and weep. Speak no evil that thou mayest not hear it spoken unto thee, and magnify not the faults of others that thine own faults may not appear great. And wish not the abasement of anyone, that thine own abasement be not exposed. Live then the days of thy life that are less than the fleeting moment, with thy mind stainless, thy heart unsullied, thy thoughts pure, and thy nature sanctified, so that, free and content, thou mayest put away this mortal frame, and repair unto the mystic paradise, and abide in the eternal kingdom forevermore. Baha'u'llah prohibits the drinking of alcohol, and of course, substance abuse. Drinking alcohol is really one of the greatest social ills that exists today in the world. It is one of the most common causes of violence and the ruin of healthy family life. Drinking makes people capable of acting in shameful ways when we have actually been created noble. I know a beautiful quote from Baha'u'llah's writings about nobility. O Son of Spirit, I created thee rich. Why dost thou bring thyself down to poverty? Noble I made thee. Wherewith dost thou abase thyself? Out of the essence of knowledge I gave thee being. Why seekest thou enlightenment from anyone beside me? Out of the clay of love I molded thee. How dost thou busy thyself with another? Turn thy sight unto thyself, that thou mayest find me standing within thee, mighty, powerful, and self-subsisting. Another commandment of Baha'u'llah, which is one of my favorites, is about the obligation of parents and society to educate children. Here I have in my notebook a short passage from Abdu'l-Bahá's writings that explains this well. Therefore the beloved of God and the maidservants of the merciful must train their children with life and heart, and teach them in the school of virtue and perfection. They must not be lax in this matter. They must not be inefficient. Truly, if a babe did not live at all, it were better than to let it grow ignorant. For that innocent babe, in later life, would become afflicted with innumerable defects, responsible to and questioned by God, reproached and rejected by the people. What a sin this would be, and what an omission. The first duty of the beloved of God and the maidservants of the merciful is this. They must strive by all possible means to educate both sexes, male and female, girls like boys. There is no difference whatsoever between them. The ignorance of both is blameworthy, and negligence in both cases is reprovable.